overview of the Gemara, and according to Rashi, with the main distinction between Zelos v'Chabalos, which is with which we need all the criteria of a full bona fide Vezdin, and Hodo'os v'Halva'os, where we're going to see that we have certain leniencies, that the basic criteria of those, the basic reason for those leniencies is that it's a realm of Gemilas Chesed. And we have it in Yan Shalotin Odelas Bifnei Lov, we want to keep Gemilas Chesed going. And so that's going to serve as an incentive to check that if there are requirements that are going to undermine the Gemilas Chesed, then Chazal have the ability, have the power of overriding those criteria. So let's just read through the Gemara according to Rashi and then see the Tosfos that we'll spend a bit of time on. Gemara asks on the Mishnah that there appears to be a certain redundancy. Dini mamanos bishlosha, gzelos v'chabalos bishlosha, atu gzelos v'chabalos lav dine mamanos ninhu, that we just have a prat of the klal. Amar Rabbi Yavohu, so Rabbi Yavohu has a reading in the Mishnah. We're going to see that there's an alternate reading on Daf Gimel Mad Aleph, but Rabbi Yavohu's reading of the Mishnah is Mahin Katani, Mahin Dine Mamanos, that require all the criteria, Gzelos V'Chabalos, Avohodos V'Halvos, there, because of the Gmilus Chesed which is involved, Lo. What is this phrase? In other words, Gzelos and Chabalos are two different realms of Halacha. You have Hilchos Gzela, and Hilchos Chovel Umazik, right? That in Gzela, the object of the other individual remains in the world, just that his control over it has been removed. And Chabalos, we're dealing over here with damaging, with a damage to someone else's body, property, etc. What are these two categories of Hodos and Havos? What does Rashi posit? He offers two alternatives. Either
Hodos are,
yeah,
Hodos are when you admit, you see, the Adam come and see that, say that they saw him admit to, that's Hodos.
Mm-hmm.
And Havos are when the Adam say that he lent it before us in front of us.
In other words, the question is, when the Malv is coming to court, what proof is he bringing that this person owes him money? Is he bringing proof of Hoda'os, this person admitted in front of two Edim that the money is owed, or is it Halva'ot, that we have Edim on the original loan itself? Those are two forms of convincing Bezdin that the money is owed. What's the alternative within Rashi? What?
Please, first.
No, they should be floating around. I'm sorry, are there more pages?
This one? Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Okay, maybe just put it on the table in the back so the people see. Okay, what's the other alternative? Yes? Right, and we're talking about the taina, the counter taina of the lova. What is this counter taina? Is he a modi b'miktzas, hoda'os, or halva'os, is he a kofar akol? Which perish does Rashi prefer? The first one, why?
Because it fits into the halva'os term.
Right, in other words, that we're dealing over here, again, with the Gemilas Chesed on the side of the Malva. So we're not looking in terms of what is the reaction of the Lova, we're dealing more, what over here is mitzad, the iske Malva that we're speaking about. Okay. So the Mahin excludes Odos v'Havos, Utsricha. Itan adine mamanos, alone, havamina, certainly that it would be a generic term for any monetary issue, afilu Odos v'Havos. Therefore, Tanak Zelos v'Chabalos. V'itanak Zelos v'Chabalos, wouldn't that be enough? V'lokatan adine mamanos, havamina, hu hadin afilu Odos v'Havos. We would view it as a binyanav. Many times the Mishnah gives us simply an example. And then we should be Mavin Davar Mitoch Davar. Gzelos v'chabalos would simply be the example of a claim of mammon on the other person, irrelevant of the source of the claim. Why would that be chosen as the role model? Why would that be chosen as the example? V'haydetonik gzelos v'chabalos v'shem de'ikar gimel D'chsive v'gzeros v'chabaros k'sive. Namely, what criteria does the Mishnah state black and white? Dine mamanos b'shrosha. And so over here, the shrosha is because of a terminology within the Torah, the Elohim, 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 that we find, that's the shrosha mumchim. The parsha that we're speaking of is the parsha of gzeilot. Which form of gzeila? Are we talking over there about gzeila, about a highway robber? What form of gzeila is spoken of in parshas mishpatim, d'chsiv v'nikrav balabayas el Elohim? Shomrim, namely? Kofer b'pikadon, d'misha shalach bo yad. I mean, this brings us back to the Rashi and the Beis Amad Aleph. Why? It's very, you know, when you look at Rashi, you're reading Rashi and on the Mishnah, you say, why in the world did Rashi begin the parasha of gzeilos with kofer b'pikadon d'shalach bo yad? Why does he simply say that we're dealing with someone who puts a gun to you and says, give me your money, right? Vayigzol asachonis chotif miyad chaveiro. Isn't that like the you know, it's the classic gzeila? But the point is that we're dealing over here with the halachic criteria of gimel, of shlosha mumchim. So in the Torah, that is found within the parsha of kofer b'pikadon. And chabalos, why would that be also in the Mishnah as sort of the ideal form of dine mamonos? Because mali chaval begufa, mali chaval b'mamono. That gzelos is basically chaval b'mamono, that you take control of someone else's money. When you injure his body, chaval begufo, we're dealing with a similar concept, namely that you are causing this individual a loss, either by controlling his money or by hurting his body. Tosis points out, Taptosis, that the order over here is a bit skewed. Namely, classically, we always bring first that which is more obvious and then that which is learned out. So it really should be mali chaval b'mamono, mali chaval b'gufo. That gzela is chaval b'mamono and then chabala is chaval b'gufo. And therefore, therefore, Tana Mahain, so because had only Dina Mamonos been written, or only Gzeskal's been written, we would have had a mistake. We would have thought that refers to everything. Tana Mahain Dina Mamonos Gzeskal's Achabolos. That's why we have a 6-word Mishnah as opposed to a 3-word Mishnah. This is Rav Avahu. Avahodos v'halvaos lo. Ulamai, in what area are we makil in hodos v'halvaos? Is that possible that we'll have a Beis Din of less than 3? Ha'amar Rav Avohu, again, this is Rav Avohu. Certainly, we know that there are those who hold that you can have a Beis Din less than 3. We're going to see on Gimel Amud Aleph, Tosis quotes others, but Rav Avohu holds, Shnayim Shadonu Dinei Mamonos U'Divrei Hakol Ein Dineihem Din, that there's no quarter in this area of the number of Dayanim. And so, Rav Avohu l'shitaso, one cannot be mekel in that area. It simply would not be a Beis Din. You can't have a leniency where it's not going to be a Beis Din. Ela d'lo be'inan mumchim. That we are saying that the criteria of mumchim, which is l'chora, a criteria d'oraisa, there we can be mekel. Maika safar. But the question is, just a minute, what exactly is the requirement of mumchim, and how does it relate to hodos v'halvaos within the Torah? Ikasavar erev parashios kasuv kan liboy nami mumchim. Ikasavar ein erev parashios kasuv kan then gimel lamagli. What over here is, again, we're learning according to Rashi. Tosos in Baba Kama has an entirely different perush than Rashi. The Rambam has an entirely different perush. The Ramban has an entirely... Everyone but has a different perush of Rashi. But we're learning Rashi. Gemara and Rashi. Well, how does Rashi understand the concept over here of Eruv Parashios? What does it mean according to Rashi? Simply what we're... The Parasha itself that we're talking about that mentions Elohim, 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 that Parasha is talking about what realm? Black and white as we read the Torah? Shomrim. We're talking about a Shomer Chinam, and he claims that the object was stolen or was lost, and then we say he has to take a shvua, shaloshalach boyad, etc. That's the context. The parasha is talking about Shomrim. In our terminology, talking about gzela, right? In other words, from the perspective of the mafkid, this Shomer, by being kofir, wants to take away his object. So the parasha is talking about gzelos, and once talking about gzelos, chavolos and gzelos are one and the same conceptually. So the parasha is talking about gzelos and chavolos. What pasuk is in the parasha is that which Rashi puts his finger on? What is the language over there?
Ki huzeh.
Now we have a pasuk that the shvua is taken in the situation. Just to read it, read the words themselves. Al kol devar pesha al shor al chamor al se al sama al kol aveda asher yomar ki huze ad ha Elohim yavod devar shnehem asher yarshiyu na Elohim yishalim shnayim ureyehu. If we say Eruv Parashios Ksiv Kan, then this phrase ki huze relates to what? To what realm? Right, in other words, down the line, in other words, this pasuk is found in Perakuf Beis, pasuk Ches. But down the line, we have a parasha in Kesef, Talve Es Ami, pasuk Kuf Dalet. So we're saying that this pasuk, Erev Parashios Ksiv Kan, was put into the parasha of Shvua, which is in the context of Shomrim, but it doesn't have anything to do with Shomrim at all. But rather, this is the din, that in the world of Hodo'os V'Halvos, if the individual, the Lova, is Moda B'Miktsas, then he swears Midoraisa. And if he's Kofer Hakol, then he doesn't swear. That's the concept of Erev Parashios. Erev Parashios, according to Rashi, means that we have a Pasuk within Parsha A that relates really to Parsha B. We have a Pasuk that was inserted in Parsha A that really relates to Parsha B. Because according to Rashi, if we say Erev Parshios Ksiv Kan, this Pasuk couldn't fit in where it really is. Because in the world of, where, in other words, where would we have a concept that a Kofer HaKol would not have to swear? That would only be in Hodos V'Halvaos, because Hodos V'Halvaos, again, is Gmilus Chesed, and Ein Adam Meis Pana B'Fnei Ba'al Chofo. So if this person says, I never borrowed money, Kanera, he must be telling the truth. If he said, I only borrowed 50, then we say, Ishtamuti Kamishtamit. Maybe he really borrowed 100, but he doesn't have 100 to pay back, so he's stalling for time. Then we make him take a Shvua. Namely, that the whole distinction between Kofer HaKol, where there is no Shvua, and ki huzeh, where there is a shvuah, is only meaningful within the parsha of Hodos Valvos. Mashaken in the parsha of Gezel, whether he's Kofer HaKol, or whether he's Modeh B'Miktsas, he's going to be Nishba. Right? Because Mei is Panav. No one did him a favor. Lehefach, he did someone else a favor. He agreed to be a Shomer Chinam. So this is the way Rashi understands Erev Parashios. Ein Erev, in other words, that we have a pasuk within the parsha of Gezel that really deals with Hodos V'Halvos. And therefore, if the parasha of Gezel has a criteria of three mumchim, then Hodos V'Halvos, Midoraisa, need three mumchim, because it's one parasha, Erev Parashios. The Torah combined these two parashas. It put the pasuk of Halva smack in the middle of the parasha of Gzelos V'Chabalos, smack in the middle of the parasha of Shomrim. Masha ein kein, if ein erev parashios ksiv kan, if we were to say that this pasuk is where it is, right, and that really it does nothing to do with hodos vahavos at all, it's purely a world of gzelos v'chabalos, then yitachin that hodos vahavos don't require even three. Im ein erev parashios ksiv kan shlosha lamali. So meman of shach. Either Hodos V'Halvos should require three mumchim midoraisa, and then how could you be lenient? Or they shouldn't require three at all, and then, in other words, the Mishnah, and then the question is, in what way are we being lenient if they're not in the parish at all? Yes.
Does the Erev Parashios mean only the dinim that are found in the Ki Huzeh pasuk, or any real dinim that's found in Shomrim? We could just bring over to Hodos
Vahavos
because it's Erev
Parashios. So the Gemara is assuming that Erev Parashios is a two-way street. Once we use the pasuk of Ki Huzeh to give us the criteria of a shvua in the world of Hodos Vahavos, since this pasuk is found in the parasha of Gzelos V'Chabalos, whatever form of bezin you require for gzeilos chavos, you require also for hodos v'halvos. If you ask why in the world would a Kadosh Baruch Hu do that, why would he take a pasuk in the middle of one parsha and say, well, this really belongs to a totally different parsha, in order to create that uniformity that the criteria of Gimel Mumchim apply also to the parsha of Hodos V'Halvos. Okay, so the Gemara then says, Lo'olam kasavar erev parshios ksivkat, that really the author of our Mishnah assumed erev parshios, and therefore bedinhu deliboi nami mumchim. Mida oraisa Hodos V'Halvos require Gimel Mumchim. So why then did the author of the Mishnah said, Dine Mamanos Mahein, Gzelos V'Chabos U'Kskud Hodos V'Halvos, Haide Rabina Mumchim, Mishum de Rabbi Chanina. Mishum de Rabbi Chanina doesn't mean because of Rabbi Chanina, but how would you translate if you're writing an English translation of Gemara? Rabbi Chanina is not talking about Gimel Mumchim. He's talking about Risha V'Chakira. But what Mishum?
Based on precedent.
Okay, parallel. Parallel to that, the takana of Rabbi Chanina, we're going to have over here also a takana. What was the takana of Rabbi Chanina? Dvar Torah echadine mamanos v'echadine nefashos b'drisha v'chakira. Drisha v'chakira is a uniform world of procedure of Bezdin. The Bezdin has to cross-examine the witnesses. Shene'emar mishpat echad yelachem. Irrelevant if we're talking about the world of nefashos or the world of mamanos. Umatam amru, namely amru chazal. Dine mamanos lo be'inan drisha v'chakira. The people, if they know that their witnesses are going to be grilled, are never going to lend money because they're never going to see the money. That it's very hard to stand up to a cross-examination of the court, even when you're telling the truth. And so therefore, the Rabbi Chanina says that Chazal made a takana that even though Mida Oraisa, Dine Mamanos require Drisha V'Chakira just like Dine Nefashos, but for Lo Tin Odelet, they became more lenient. Hu Hadin, by Gimel Mumchim. It's going to be hard to find Gimel Mumchim. Gimel Mumchim means Gimel Smuchim. Smuchim are not around the corner. And so the lender will say, why should I lend money if the borrower is going to be difficult? Where am I going to take him to court? I'll have to travel, take him to court. I live in Chutz Laretz. And so therefore they were lenient in this criteria as well. Okay? Ela me'ata ta'u lo yishalmu. How does Rashi understand this question? The Balkas Rashi and Tosus, but I didn't ask to look at Tosus yet. So what, let's go into Rashi. How does Rashi understand this question? Ela me'ata ta'u lo yishamu. What are we starting with? What assumption? That when someone is a mumche, then he doesn't have to pay. Namely, if a person is authorized to judge and he makes a mistake, he doesn't have to pay. But what are we doing now? We're saying that for hodos v'halvaos, even hedyotot, even if a person is not a mumche, he's authorized to judge. So he shouldn't have to pay. So when it says, no, that can't be. Kol shekenat ha-noel delas b'fnei lochem. In other words, if the lender is going to say, I'm going to take them before a court of three hedyotos, there's no check and balance on the court. There is no accountability on the part of the court. They're not going to check the case very, very well. Even if they make a mistake, they're not going to have to pay. So I'm not going to lend money because they're going to see it back. So therefore, we created a system where the judges are accountable. So therefore, the lender will feel comfortable. But you don't have to necessarily go to Mumchim, you can even go to Hedyota. We're creating an ideal world. We're going to have judges that are available and accountable. And then the lender is willing to lend the money. Okay? Adkan Rav Avohu. The Ihachi is already the beginning of another reading of the Mishnah, an alternate reading of the Mishnah, that will also get us to the same conclusion, that Hodos V'Halvos don't require Gimel Mumchim, but not reading the Mishnah as a Mahen, but in a totally different matter. That will hold off for a little while, okay? For the alternate reading. But currently, we have the reading of Rav Avohu, Dine Mamanos B'Shlosha, U'Mahen Dine Mamanos, that require Shlosha Mumchim, Gzelos V'Chabalos B'Shlosha, to exclude Hodos V'Halvos. So far, so good, simply shout in the Sugya, everywhere, all on the same page. Okay, Taptosis, we already mentioned that within the classic syntax of Chazal, we would normally write in our sugya, Mali Chava 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 B'Mamona, Mali Chava B'Gufo, as opposed to the way it's written. Tosfos is just Meir, that's, you know, where it's, that's the way it usually is. Okay. Then we have the Tosfos Divrei Hakol Ein Dinehem Din. And Tosfos points out, the Divrei Hakol over here doesn't mean everyone, because then it would be associated with the Sugya on Gimel Amud Aleph. We have Ravacha Berei D'Ravika, who says that one Dayan is enough. We have Shmuel, who says Shnayim Shadonu Dinehem Din. It means, according to Rav Avahu, everyone holds this way. Rav Avahu says, in other words, this is the way that we're holding. However, Tosfos then asks, don't we have a Braisa? How can Rav Avahu say Divrei Hakol? Don't we have a Braisa of Rami Bar Chama? And Rami Bar Chama doesn't hold in that Braisa of Eruv Parshios. And we say, if we don't hold of Eruv Parshios, there's no need for three. So don't we have a Braisa? You don't need three. How can Rav Avahu say Divrei Hakol? He could say Divrei Hakol in terms of the world of Amoraim, but he can't say Divrei Hakol if we have a Tana. Okay, so Tosfos gets off that question by saying that that's not a real Braisa. The real Braisas come from the school of Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia. That's not a real Braisa. But then he was bothered. We have Rav Yochanan. That Rav Yochanan holds like Rami Bar Chama, and Rav Yochanan already is someone to be reckoned with, and he holds Ein Erev Parashios Ksiv Kan. So Tosfos says that even if you hold Ein Erev Parashios Ksiv Kan, we have an alternate drasha. We can come to the conclusion you need three mumchim even without Erev Parashios. Why would you need, what alternate source could we have of Gimel Mumchim aside from Erev Parashios? Mishpat Echad Yelacha. Mishpat Echad, we have this uniformity. And therefore, we can say that even if Rav Yochanan doesn't hold Erev Parashios, still he'd require three dayanim for Hodos v'Havos mitzad Mishpat Echad. But then Tosfos, this is what I asked you to look at, was bothered. Just a minute. The Im Tomar, ki hechi dialfin and drisha vachir mishpat echad neilof nam elinyan gimel umumchin afil laman deres le'erev parashios, then what's our whole sugya dealing with? Namely, why does a sugya bring in erev parashios, which is a limping sort of a limud? Erev parashios is a machlokas tanoim, machlokas amoraim. Why not simply go straight to the jugular? We have mishpat echad. Mishpat echad should give us the Gimel Mumchin that we're looking for. Namely, why did the Gemara say that whether you require Gimel Mumchin or not is totally an Erev Parashios? Mishpat Echad is a better drush. It touches all bases. The Yeshlomar Satosa says a technical answer. The Mishpat Echad lahashvot dine mamonos l'dine nefashos kasi lo lahashvos dine mamonos ahadodi. That from Mishpat Echad, the context of Mishpat Echad is Makei Behemi Yishamena Makei Adam Yumat. It's saying just like in Dinei Nefashos, Dinei Drisha V'Chakira, Hu Hadim, in Dinei Mamonos, but it would not necessarily be helpful in terms of dealing with Dinei Mamonos themselves to say, just like Zeus V'Chabaos need Gimel Mumchim, Elohim, 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 so also Hados V'Halvos need Gimel Mumchim. For that you need Erev Parashios. But then Tosfos was bothered. Okay, we move down to the Im Tomar about 7 lines from the bottom. The Im Tomar akatrinyan mumchim mihanelef dine mamonos min dine nefashos kamolinyan drisha v'chakira. Okay, we can't compare hodos avos to gzelos v'chabalos based on mishpat echad. It's a different form of comparison. It's from the fashos to mamonos. But let's use it at least in the realm of the criteria of the dayanim. Just like in dinin nefashos, you need mumchim, you need smuchim, so also in dinin mamonos, you need smuchim. Maybe we can't learn out from that the gimel, but let's at least learn out from that the mumchim. And that, because that's what we're concerned with in our Gemara. We want to say that hodos v'alvos need mumchim midoraisa. Why for that you need erev parshios? Let's learn that out from the world of Mishpat Echad. So Tosfos over here gives a beautiful answer which will fit in with that which we already learned previously. And he says, the Veshema, about 4 lines in the bottom of that Tosfos, Veshema gleinyan mumchin ein lilmo dine mamonos min dine nefashos kevan desagi b'shlosha. Again, Shem alinyan mumchin ein lilmod dine mamanos min dine nefashos kevan de sagi vishrosha. What over here is Tosfos saying? It's just our Gemara says that if you hold of Eruv Parshios, so just as Gzelos v'Chavalos have a requirement of Gimel Mumchim, that's the Elohim, 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 this applies also to Hodos v'Halvos. They're going to require this criteria as well. Masher from our Gemara, if you don't hold of Eruv Parshios, then there's no need of Gimel Mumchim and Hodos v'Halvos. This Gemara has to come on too, that we have to say, look, we really have to hold Eruv Parshios, but the problem is not everyone holds the Eruv Parshios. Rabbi Bar Chama doesn't hold Eruv Parshios. Rav Yochanan doesn't hold the Eruv Parshios. So Tosfos says that l'chora we have, why don't we say simply Mishpat Echad? That since we have Mishpat Echad, we should say the same thing. That since Gzeiros Kavos and Gimel Mumchim, Hodos v'Halvos, it says, no, you can't say this. You can't learn from Mishpat Echad from one realm of Mamanos to another realm of Mamanos. Like Mishpat Echad teaches us that when we have a principle in Dine Nefashos, we can apply that principle to Dine Mamanos. For example, if we have Drisha V'Chakira in Dine Nefashos, so then we said that you need Drisha V'Chakira also in Dine Mamanos. Then Tosfos says, so why not say that just as in the world of Nefashos you need Mumchim, so also in the world of Mamanos we need Mumchim. Why not? This is Tosfos' question. Why does the Gemara have to come on to Eruv Parshos of Din of Mumchim? Why not learn it out from the Din of Mishpat Echad? For Shlosha, that you can't learn out Mamanos from the Nefashos. But Mumchim we should be able to learn out. So Tosfos says, no, we can't learn the din over here of Mumchim from one to the other, because Kevan Desagi B'Gimel. That since over here we're dealing with a court of three, and here we're dealing with a court of 23 by Nefashos, you can't learn the court of three from the court of 23. But why not? We just learned over here the court of 3 from the court of 23. We said you need Drisha v'Chakira in a court of 23, so also you need Drisha v'Chakira in a court of 3. Why? Mishpat Echad. What over here is Tosfos distinguishing between what and what? Between what criteria and where else did we see this earlier?
Between the judges and how to actually do the judgment.
Excellent. Drisha v'Hakira is an inyan of court procedure. In terms of court procedure, there's room for uniformity. Whatever the court procedure is going to be in a Beis Din of 71, is going to be in a Beis Din of 23, is going to be in a Beis Din of 3. This is classic court procedure. You need Drisha v'Hakira. You have to cross-examine witnesses. Irrelevant if the witnesses are talking about someone who broke a window or someone who murdered another individual. They have to be cross-examined. However, in terms of Mumchim, Mumchim is not a question of court procedure. What is Mumchim a question of? The judges. The criteria of the judges, the fact that we have a certain criteria by 23 doesn't mean we need that same criteria by 3. Where did we discuss this earlier? Who says it's black on white? This was the Rambam that we learned in terms of the difference between the world of Sanhedrin and the world of Beis Din of Gimel. That a Sanhedrin requires the Mufla Sheba Chachma, it requires Yichus, it requires, has all sorts of criteria. Mashenkin, a court of three doesn't have those criteria. So Hu Hadin, in other words, there's room to say, if we find Mumchim by 23, who says the three require Mumchim? We happen to paskin that way. Why do we paskin that way? Because of Erev Parshios. Because of Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. But we can't short-circuit this Gemara of Erev Parshios and go straight to the jugular, straight to Mishpat Echad, because from Mishpat Echad we could learn court procedure. But from Mishpat Echad we could not learn the concept of the criteria of the Dayanim. We could very well, Al Pisvara, say, Kevan Desagi B'Gimel, there's a difference between the world of Sanhedrin, be it a Sanhedrin Gedola, be it a Sanhedrin Katana, and a world of Beis Din. Maybe the criteria of Mumchim is only by a Sanhedrin, not by a Beis Din. That's so Tosfos over here is working like we saw in the Rambam, that we're aware that there are differences in terms of criteria between Sanhedrin and Beis Din, so we can't learn the world of Mumchim from one to the other. That's why the Gemara comes on to Erev Parashios. And what Tosfos is pointing out, our Gemara, Rav Avahu, has to work off of Erev Parashios rather than Mishpat Echad, even though Mishpat Echad appears to be smooth sailing. Everyone agrees to Mishpat Echad. It's used from the Pashas to Mamanos, etc. But we can't use it by us because what we want to learn from one to the other is going to be the world of Mumchim, and the world of Mumchim doesn't lend itself to be transferred from one to the other. Mumchim is not court procedure. Mumchim is the nature of the Dayan. Yes?
Two questions. Number one, how does Tosfos then understand how Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Avahu stem together? In other words, that if Rabbi Yochanan's if our understanding is that Rabbi Yochanan must hold by Mishpat Echad, that's how he learns it out from. So how can Rabbi Avahu say that it's Dibrei HaKol?
Now what the Gemara said, what Tosfos said earlier, in terms of Mishpat Echad. I understand what you're saying. Previously, Tosfos said that even if Rav Yochanan doesn't hold of Erev Parshios, he can get to the same criteria via Mishpat Echad. You're right. That's why Tosfos over here puts in the concept of Shema. Namely, that even though we could use this as an alternate understanding, but it's not necessarily an alternate understanding. In other words, Once I said that you can have this alternate track of Mishpat Echad to explain Rav Yochanan, so why does our Gemara ignore it? So our Gemara ignores it because there's room to make a distinction. Rav Yochanan wouldn't make that distinction, but there's room to make the distinction. Yes?
Rav Yochanan was learning Mishpat Echad to teach you from Dini Mamonos to Dini
Mamonos. He was using it even for Dini Mamonos to Dini Mamonos, right? Okay, I understand. In other words, previously Tosfos was working that within Rav Yochanan, Tosfos is working in different stages. Sorry, I tried to see everything very, very quickly. Tosfos is working in different stages in terms of what is the area that Mishpat Echad can be used to make comparisons. Originally, he suggested that according to Rav Yochanan, that which our sugya learns out from Erev Parshios, we can learn out from Mishpat Echad, even Mamanos from Mamanos. Then Tosfos was bothered, well, then why did our Gemara bring in Erev Parshios at all? Let it simply bring in the drasha of Mishpat Echad? No, maybe Mishpat Echad is only dinin nefashos, dinin mamonos. Okay, but then the question is, but then why not at least learn it out for Mumchim? That could be nefashos and mamonos. No, because Shema v'chulei. Okay, in other words, Tosfos just points out that the reason that our Gemara got involved in Erev Parshios is because learning from Mishpat Echad is not as simple as it appears to be. It could be there are all sorts of limitations to learning from Mishpat Echad. Maybe it's only nefashos to mamonos, not mamonos to mamonos. Maybe it's only court procedure as opposed to the personality of the Dayan. That's why our Gemara felt that Erev Parshios was a much better source for requiring Gimel Mumchim in the world of Hodos v'Havos. Okay, all of this is relatively technical. Technical is also learning. We have to understand technically what the Gemara is, what's going on over here. But the next Tosfos raises a much more ekroni issue, and that is that there appeared to be a stira between our sugya, the bottom line of our sugya, and the bottom line of a sugya in Gittin. Let's look at the Gemara that we have in Gittin that I've photostated for you. And daf pechesem days. Abaye ashkeche l'Rav Yosef, the Yosef v'kor ma'ase al Gittin. That Rav Yosef was forcing an individual to give a get to his wife in a situation where the Torah tells us that such a person should be forced to give a get to his wife. Amar Leib, but Abaye was bothered. Ho anan hedyotos anan. In other words, that we don't have the right to coerce individuals to give a get. We are not mumchim. And the Torah tells us, Shenemar, Eila Hamishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem, Lifnehem Velo Lifne Ovde Kochavim, Lifnehem Velo Lifne Hedyotos. That the reason that we require Mumchim is because the Torah says, Eila Hamishpatim Asher Tosim lifnehem. And lifnehem refers to mumchim. So Gemara tells us, so Rav Yosef answered him, anan shlichusayu ka'avdinan, midi dahave ahodaos v'halvaos. That we are serving as, let's just use the phrase felicitously, the messengers of the mumchim, and just like we find by hodaos v'halvaos. Why don't we make this yachik zeros ha'kabalos name? So the Gemara says we don't apply this principle across the board, only certain cases. So it appears that the Gemara is dealing with something parallel to our sugya, but with totally different sources. Our Gemara says that the source that you require mumchim is Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. We override it with lotin ol delas bifnei lavim. Over there, the source is lifnehem, and we override it with shlichusayu. Namely, it appears that we're dealing over here with two parallel sugyos and totally different sources within the sugyos, both for the requirement and for the leniency. What is going on? That's Tosis's question. Tema. Tema is not an imtomar. Tema goes beyond an imtomar. Tema means that this should knock us off of our seats. The mashma hachad mamatinan hediotot midichsiv Elohim. Ubeperaka megarshim ma'atluhu midichsiv lifnehem. V'lo lifnei akum, v'lo lifnei hediotot. A totally different drasha. So Tosis over here has basically two answers. Answer number one, v'yeshlamar d'hosam ma'atinan milifnehem, mishum d'milifnehem koi a'elohim. D'hocha, klomar, lifnei hadayonam afroshim makom acher. Tosis points out that lifnehem is a pronoun in front of them. What is the antecedent to the pronoun? Who are the them? So Tosis says the them are those that are going to be described later on as Elohim. Namely, it's not two drushas. It's really two sides of the same coin. In other words, that we only have one place where it has the criteria. That's Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. That's the source of Gimel Mumchim. Lifnehem, in front of the judges. Who are the judges? Those that are described a few psukim down the road. Right? That the Elohim, Elohim, Elohim is Perek Kaf Beis. Psukim, Pasuk, Zayin, and Ches. And here we're dealing with Perek of Aleph, Pasuk, Aleph. Right? So in the next Perek, we're going to say, who are the Lifnehem? Eila, Mishpatam, Shatosim, Lifnehem, Perek of Aleph, Pasuk, Aleph. Who are this Lifnehem? That's V'nikrav Balabayis El Elohim, Ad Elohim Yavodavar Shnehem, Asher Yashin Elohim Yishalim Shnaim L'Reyehu. Namely, it's all one. We didn't realize that it's all one. But Tosis points out that's fine if you want to learn. You know, if you point out that we're dealing with a pronoun and we need an antecedent. Umihu begitin pirish bekuntres mishum dekoi. Right, look, we have the Rashi in front of us. Koi ashivim zekenin haksuvim besof parshas mishpatim sheogu imo lahar. Shehein haSanhedrin, namely Eilam Shlomo Shertasim Lifnehem, Parshas Mishpatim comes after Matan Torah, and we have a parsha that really belongs in Parshas Yisro, but for all sorts of reasons, Ein Ukta Mamucha was put at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, which describes what happened at Mamad Har Sinai, including Shivim Zakenim, and over here the pasuk of Lifnehem is referring to those Shivim Zakenim, namely not. In other words, according to Rashi, this does not refer to Perakuf Beis, it refers to that which occurred previously. In other words, in Matan Torah, in Parshas Yisro, there was a revelation to Shivim Zakenim, Ve'ele Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem. So it would be a little hard to use Tosis's first Perush of Lifnehem, that it refers to Elohim, and Mefresh Makom Acher, according to Rashi, who already has an antecedent. He has a different antecedent. So Tosis offers another Perush. V'nir lefarish, the begitin linyan mirei dekfiya airi, da hochi maisi le'abaye, ashkach Rav Yosef, have a Yosef koma asa agitin, omer lehanan hedyotos anan, avol Elohim lava mirei de isui mairi. We're not talking about kfiya, Ela bedin ba'alma. Namely, that what over here is Tosis's distinction. In other words, that really we have two sugyos. Not, like you said earlier, it's all one drasha, it's all one sugya, it's all one fuzzy hole. But rather, we have two sugyos. But the sugyos are talking about what?
Our Gemara is talking about the din itself.
But there are two realms. There's the realm of psak, and then there's the realm of kfiya, of, how would you translate kfiya, of?
Implementation.
Implementation, thank you. So each of them has a drasha. You need three dayanim to paskin, three mumchim, and we need three mumchim in order to implement. These are two different drashas. So our sugya, in terms of nikra bala bayis Elohim, the whole context is one of din. The context is one of psak. Eila hamishpatim asher tosim lifnehem, Tosis continues and points out, the mishum, the darshin and lekama, me asher tosim, eil klei hadayonim shayach behu sima. Asher tosim implies
an action.
Implies more than an action. It implies that we're dealing with implementation. Tosim means that they have authority. Asher tosim, like som tosim al chamelech. You know, it's that you that you, this refers to authority. So the they learn that from there. The tosim ifnehem, that the dayanim have to have tools with which they can enforce their psakim. So the pasuk of Eilu Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem deals with implementation. The pasuk that deals of Elohim deals with psak din. And so our sugi is talking about psak din, Hodos v'halvaos, who is the malva going to go to paskin that the lova owes him money. Mashenkin the sugi over there was talking about kfiya, and therefore has a different drasha, it's a different pasuk, it's a different realm. That's Tosos. However, on this inyan, we also have a Ramban, and we have two versions of the Ramban. One that he wrote himself, and one that his Talmidim said over in his name. It's not that one is right and one is wrong. It could very well be that one he said when he was in Spain, and to the Talmidim, and that's what the Ran picked up, and one he wrote in his Perish when he got to Eretz Yisrael, which is when he published the Perish of the Ramban and Chumash. But we have two versions of the Ramban, with a lot that they have in common, but also a lot in which they differ. But they both relate to this question. They both relate to this question of how do we deal with the sugyos. So, let's look at the Ramban in Chumash, and then we'll return to the Ramban in the Ran. Is that okay? Okay. The Ramban in Chumash, v'dorshu, lifnehem v'lo lifnei kna'anim, namely that you have to go in front of a Jewish court as opposed to a non-Jewish court, if that's what we have in our Gemara, Gitin Peches, lifnehem v'lo lifnei akum, v'mnei shahaya ro'i lomer asher tosim lohem, sham sam lo choku mishpat, amar lifnehem, heim yihiyu hadayanim, ki ala shofet yovo loshon hazeh, etc., and therefore, the word lifnehem comes to tell us the criteria of the dayanim, v'dorshu u'od, four lines down, lifnehem v'lofnei hediotos. This, again, is a sugya in Gittin. M'nei she'kosav mishpatim, v'higish adonim Elohim, adonim yavod v'ar shnehem, etc. Shehem adayanim hamumchim asmuchim, etc. L'chein, omar v'kan she'mishpatim el yisimu osam lifnehu Elohim she'yazkir, the Elohim over here before the judges that are mentioned, the lifnehem, lo lifnei goyim, v'lo lifnei mi she'eno shofet al pi ha-Torah, v'u hediot lazeh, she'osur lovo b'fanav, k'shem she'osur lovo lifnei ha-goyim. V'af al pi she'yodea, she'hediot hazeh yodea shurat ha-din, v'yodin lo kahogen, aval hu osur l'sumo dayan, v'litzok lov she'yochev esbaldino, lodun l'fanav. What over here is the Ramban pointing out about the difference between the area of Elohim, 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 which is our sugya, and the sugya in Gittin? What are the realms that we're dealing with? Tosfos distinguished, this is a realm of din, and this is a realm of kfiya. What is the Ramban's distinction? What over here is the uniqueness of Asher Tosim Lifneihem, as opposed to our parasha?
Addressing. I mean, it seems like Lifnehem's, the focus is on the people who are going to the choosing who to approach.
We have the Sugya in Sanhedrin, which says that the source of Mumchim as opposed to Hediotos is Elohim, and we have the Sugya in Gittin, which assumes that the source is Lifnehem. Right, that you need Mumchim.
Like Tosfos, no?
Not like Tosfos. Tosfos says this is talking. First, Tosfos says the first answer of Tosfos is it's one and the same. It's one and the same. Who are the Lifnehem? The Elohim. All one and the same. Rashi did not learn that way in Gittin. So Tosfos offers another option. This is Tosfos number two. That Elohim is referring to the realm of Din, and Lifnehem is referring to the realm of Kfiyah. Right? Psak, an implementation. Then we have over here the Ramban in Chumash. Which of these does the Ramban agree to, and which of these does the Ramban... The Ramban in Chumash is only talking about Lifnehem. We understand what Lifnehem is, then we'll understand what Elohim is. What does Ramban say on Lifnehem?
People who are coming to me. Okay. There's an Israel in the person.
Okay, just to sharpen it a little bit. So we'll start this one. The Ramban says that Elohim, like Tosfos, tells us that a Hedyot is possible to be a Dayan. We have a Psul Gavra. We have over here that a judgment coming out of a court of Hediotos is not a judgment. It's a kangaroo court. We don't have judges. We don't have a judgment. Namely, here we have, in terms of defining a din has to come out of Mumchim. A din can't come out of Hediotos. They're not authorized. It's not a psak din. It's meaningless al pi halacha. The din itself is meaningless. But in addition to the fact that the din is meaningless, here we have an Isur to go before such a court. This is the realm of Isur Veheter. This is the realm of the status of the Dayan. We say over here that a Dayan who was a Hedyot is possible. Right? Here, in other words, here we're doing that the Hedyot is possible. Ladun. Okay, possible. He, as an individual, is possible. Here we have an Isur, Asur Lavo Lifnea Hedyot. This Isur is not on the judge, it's on the plaintiff and the defendant. It's on the Shnei Anoshim who are coming for their din. They are forbidden. We have an Isur to go before a court which is possible. You don't have that, in other words, the fact that something is possible doesn't mean that you're not allowed to go ahead and do it. If you want to, you can go ahead and do it. No. Leaving aside the fact that this judgment is meaningless, it's usur for, we have an isur. An isur midoraisa. It's lifnehem v'lo lifnei akur. The same way that it's usur to go to a non-Jewish court, it's usur to go to a court of hediotot. That, according to Ramban, is a distinction. We're talking about different apples and oranges. Here we're speaking and saying that hediotot are pasul ladud, that these are not judges. Halachically, these judges have no status. That's A. B, we have a unique Isur of going before them, that a Jew who goes before a judge who is pasul, be he a non-Jew or be he a Jew who is the Hedyot, is over an Isur d'oraisa. That's what the Ramban over here is pointing out. This is not Tosfos. Tosfos is speaking about the Dayan. A, the Dayan can't judge. B, the Dayan can't implement. According to Ramban, Elohim is talking about the criteria of the judge, but Lifnehem is talking about the people, the Jewish people who are coming before the judge, that they have an Isur to come before a hedyot. Okay? Just to read it again inside. She'osur lavo lefanav, kamo she'osur lavo lefnei hagoyim. Even if he knows that this hedyot happens to no Jewish law, but he never receives smicha, osur lasumo dayan. You can't take someone that the Torah did not allow to become a dayan and say he's going to be your dayan. Okay? The Seder, is that clear that that's what the Ramban is saying? Let's just turn over the page to the Ran. He was bothered by exactly the same issues that Tosos was bothered by. And if you look where it says, Vateretz Hanochon, Hateretz Hanochon L'chol Zeh, Dehach Sugya Dehacha, the Sugya in Sanhedrin, He Linyan Hadin, Im Hu Kosher Behedyotot. Are these Hedyotot, is their Psak Din, a valid Psak Din, Imlo? Veha Nafka Me'erev Parshios, Shehu Be'ikar Hadin, Sha'amr HaToro, Ad Elohim Yavodavar Shnehem, that the Din can only come out from Mumchim. V'inim Einon Mumchim, Hadin pasul mi da'oraisa. These dayanim are pasul, and therefore the din is pasul. We'll just skip the next line. Va'osa sugya she'perek ha'megaresh hu inyan mitzvah acheret she'amra Torah osur lavo lifnei hediotot kishem she'osur lavo lifnei kutim. Okay, we have the osur lavo. Okay, it's not a question over here as to whether the din is a din. It's a separate iser to go before them. Okay. That is the common denominator between the Ramban in the Ran and the Ran and the Ramban that's written in his Perush on Chumash. However, there is also a very, very important point of distinction. Did anyone catch what the point of distinction was? Let's turn over the page back to the Ramban in the Ramban itself. And he points out two lines from the bottom, three lines from the bottom. Va'af al pi shiskiru chachamim shtei kitos se'elu ka'achas. Even though we find in the same breath, lifneim v'lifnei akum, lifneim v'lifnei hediotot, that we're comparing hediotot to goyim. Just like it's osur to go to a court of goyim, we call harka'ot, it's osur to go to a court of hediotot. Yesh hefresh b'nehem. But there is a distinction. What if Rotsu Shnei Balei Hadin Lavo Lifneihem? What if the two plaintiff and defendant say, we know that this hedyot has no right to judge us, but we want an out-of-court settlement. We want to go before these hedyotos not for a psak. We know we can't give a psak. We want to go before them for, in other words, what? Enforced arbitration, right? Can we do that? So he says that's the hefresh. Im ratzu shnei baladim lavol ofnei hediot shebi Yisrael muterhu bekiblum aleihem din odin. Namely, if they say that we're not going to them as judges, we know that they don't have the right to judge. We want to go before them out of court settlement. Then there's no iser. But for goyim, irrelevant, an in-court settlement, an out-of-court settlement, you're not allowed to go in front of goyim that they should judge the case. So according to the Ramban in the Chumash, kiblu aleihem this would override the isur, namely the isur is to view them as judges. But if we say we don't view them as judges, we just want them to help us deal with our issue, so then we would distinguish between an hedyot on one hand and goyim on the other hand. Ma she'en kein, look at the Ran, bidiyuk, where we left off, in that middle paragraph. Ve'osa suyi sheperek ha-megare shu mitzvah achere shamar Torah osur lov of the hedyotos. V'af al pi shekibu lehem balei hadinas dinam, kederech she'asur gavol lefnei kutim afal pi shekibul lehem barei dinas dinam. This is nothing to do with the parasha of Elohim. We know that the judgment both of the Hediotos and of the Goyim is meaningless. But the Torah has a separate Iser, which is an Iser according to the understanding of the Ran, even in a case of Kiblu Aleihem. V'ze shita nachona meharamban shekosvu talmid of Mishmo. I mean, this was the tradition that the Ramban left in Europe. This is what the Ran picked up from Talmidei Haramban in Spain, but the Ramban himself, down the line in Eretz Yisrael, wrote differently. Would you like to offer an explanation of this machlokes between the Ramban and the Ramban, between the Ramban in his Perush on Chumash and the Ramban.
Like why they came out to be different?
What over here is the Nakuda that distinguishes between them?
Out of course elements.
In other words, according to the Ramban and Chumash, the moment that you don't give the individual the status of a judge, then there's no Iser to come before him. He doesn't have the status of a judge. But by a goy?
There'd still be an Iser.
Why? And I was off close up, you're saying the goy also doesn't have a status of a judge.
You have the nature of Pshar?
For any reason. La'olam. Why? Using the phraseology which is used in the Ramban quoted by the Ran. Yes?
Maybe the difference is the Ran was dealing with you're giving over the king. Do they have the right to give over the keser of
well, start with it, in other words, continue with what Yonatan was dealing. In other words, why according to the Ramban in Chumash, the moment, if the Ramban says that the moment that there's no standing, there's no status of a dayan, then there is no Iser, so why then is there an Iser to go in front of a non-Jewish judge if you're saying, I'm not going before you as a judge, just for arbitration?
Because we consider them a shayim. They have like a level of...
Well, that's, the Ramban speaks about the fact that that is giving a ilui liyiratam. That in some way, the fact that you're going before him, it means that you are giving a certain status, not to him, but to his religion. You're giving an iwi to his religion. That his religion will solve your problem. Whether it's in court, it's out of court, that you can't deal with your problem within your religion, but you can deal with your problem within his religion. I mean, it's not a question only of the status of a dayan, but it's the status of his belief system, which you are giving a seal of approval by going in front of him. That's in terms of the Ramban and Chumash. According to the Ramban, as quoted by the Ran, in other words, what you have to go beyond it. Aside, in other words, by the Hedyot, aside from the issue of giving him a status of a Dayan, what other issue is there? To read again what he wrote. Afal pi shekiblu aleihem. Right. In other words, afilu hachi kedei shelo yavou baruch hoseim shu ilu yirasam, o kedei shelo yishtamshu hahedyotot bekeser mumchim asra Torah shelo lavo lifnei hedyotot. Namely, that you are not allowed to be an enabler. You are not allowed to be an enabler of allowing a hedyot to fulfill a role that was meant for mumchim. Even if you say, okay, we both agree that you're not a dayan, but b'chol zot, to make a settlement, that's keter mumchim. That's keter mumchim, and that also is an issue. How is that issue solved? If the mumchim are mochel, right? That's the shlichus sayu. That's, in other words, were there to be a situation where we know the mumchim want this individual to take his place for whatever reason, the mumchim don't care if they take his place, or actually they want shlichus sayu, that would solve the issue of the lifnehem. Namely, since lifnehem, we're dealing with an iser. What is the iser? According to the Ramban and Chumash, is an iser to give them a status of a dayan. According to the Ramban of his Talmidim, there's an iser for them to take the authority to make settlements. Right? Just that's the keter mumchim. Both of those issues would be solved with shlichus sayu. That's the sugya in Gittin. In terms of our sugya, that if they're serving as judges, the judgment is pasul, right? That is a psul gavra, that's a psul in the psak din. That can be overridden, according to Chazal, in lotin ol delas rifnei rabim. They were willing to say that in a certain realm of halacha, their psak would be a psak. For reason, namely that we're dealing over here with two different worlds. Within the world of din, so we have the issue of Elohim, and that can be solved with lotino. Within the world of lifnehem, we're dealing with an iser of giving a certain status, that can be solved with shlichus sayu. That's the picture that we have within the Ramban. Okay? The distinction is the kiblu aleihem hedyotot. Is there still a pegia in the world of mumchim? According to Ramban and Chumash, the moment that it's out of court settlement, there's no pegia in the status of the mumchim. According to the Talmidim of the Ramban, their understanding was that that would still be lo yishtamshu hedyotot bekeser hamumchim, even simply to go for an out-of-court settlement, parallel to ilu yirasa, parallel to what we spoke about by the Goyim, where we have an inyan, not of giving them the status of a dayan, but of giving their religion the status of being able to solve issues that we can't solve. So we would have a similar issue. We're giving hedyotos the power to solve issues that are not in their authority, even out of court. That remains the machlokas between the two shitos. Okay, so we have then a machlokas rishonim, 1, 2, 3, how to deal with the two sugyos, and again, over here, in terms of this iser, then we have a machlokas in kiblu aleihem, Mafkia ha'isur by the hedyotos. Okay, that's the machlokas between the tradition of the Ramban in the Ran and what the Ramban himself writes in his Perush on Chumash. I asked you also to look at the Rambam just to figure out where he holds in this world, and you realize that according to Tosfos, there is no such isur. Okay, that, in other words, this is an iser that the Ramban has in his world of Tirat Misos. This is not an iser according to Tosfos. He doesn't have that iser. Either this drasha is simply an optical illusion, there's really only one drasha, or it's dealing with the world of implementation, where we have a psul, an invalid implementation, like we would have an invalid psak. Look at the Ramban, and let's try and figure out what he is saying. Rambam, Hilchos Sanhedrin, Parakafav. So if you already saw, where does the Rambam talk about the criteria of a dayan? In which prakim? Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, right? Here, this is Parakafav, okay? The Rambam has gone on to bigger and better things in the world of Sanhedrin. He's gone on to all different halachos. This is not just Parakafav, but what is this? If you looked it up? It's the last halacha of Hilchos Sanhedrin. Okay? It's the last halacha. This is the chasima. This is ne'ila. This is the Rambam is summarizing Hilchos Sanhedrin. Kol hadon b'dinei akum ubar kol shelahen af al pishi yudineihem k'dinei Yisrael hareze rasha ukilu cheref v'gideif v'heirim b'torat Moshe Rabbeinu. This is a very, very serious avera. I mean, there are averos and there are averos. What?
Rudarshini word Rasha to mean that it's a straight up Nisim? Why should he not use Kalashim assuming? Why don't you say saying it's like a really bad thing to do, but that doesn't mean that's like one of the Isurim or Mitzvah has it.
Hareza Rasha means that this individual would be Pasol Eidos, that they were dealing, this individual was taking himself out of the world of Ne'emanos. In other words, it's on someone on the level of cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'heirim yad, v'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. Sheneemar ve'elo ha'mishpatim asher tosim lifneihem, lifneihem lifnelo lifnei ha'akum. Had the Rambam stopped at that point, you know, okay, you understand that after the Rambam has finished 26 prakim of describing what is the Jewish jurisprudence system, he's ending off that this is our system and nothing else. Right? Don't go across the road to the other system. That is ke'ilu. You're mamish oved avodah zarah. You're turning yourself into a kofir. You're apikores v'chule. Terrible terminology. Then the Rambam adds in three more words: lifneihem v'lo lifnei hediotos. Okay, haya sayad akum takifa ubaldino alam veino yochol gahotim and bedani Israel. What if we're dealing with a situation where it's very difficult technically to go to a Jewish court? Yitveenu adayano Yisrael tchila lo ratz alavo notel reshus mi bezdin matzul bedani akum miyad baldino sliku le mishpech tilchos Sanhedrin. Okay, so 99% of this Rambam deals with non-Jewish courts. The Chatchila and Golos. You know, what do you do if you're in Golos and we're stuck? And so we have this patent of taking him to a Jewish court theoretically, and then he's not going to come, and then you're going to get a Ketav Siruv, and you can go to the non-Jewish court not to lose your money. The problem is that in all of this, I threw in those three words, V'lo lifnei hediotot. And the question is, you know, it's to... What I mean, so what over here are the options? Really only two options. One is
a direct comparison.
One is that the Rama over here meant what he wrote literally, Lolofne Hedyotot, namely that going before a Hedyot, you're also a Rasha, you're also Herim Yabataras Yisrael, namely you're over an Isra, like the Ramban. That the Rambam over here is saying this is the Pasuk Lifneihem. Whatever you have, lo lefnei ha'akum, you have v'lo lefnei hediotot. Without getting involved in the technical issue of kibul olayu, which way he would hold. But without the kibul olayu, you're talking about an iser. And the Rambam over here is ending Hilchos Sanhedrin with pointing out that this requirement of mumchim is not just stam a pitch of kiss, it's the real thing. And therefore, the only way you're going to get around it is with some mechanism of shlichusayu, etc., that we're going to have to discuss. But we're dealing over here with an iser on the plane of going before Akum, similar to the Ramban in Chumash. Or, with the other alternative, which was posited by Rav Perla in his, I didn't send you to it, in his parish on the Rasag, he was also bothered by this Rambam. And the other alternative is simply say that the Rambam tossed it in Derech Agav. It didn't really mean, you know, this Rambam was written about Dinei Akum. Just that the Rambam wrote it, the drasha is lo lefnei hediotot v'lo lefnei ha'akum, but the Rambam was not talking about this part of the drasha, was not necessarily comparing it. Maybe really the Rambam would learn like Tosfos, lo lefnei hediotos meant in a totally different realm, etc. We're not used to learning Rambams that way, that things are derech agav, and particularly we know that the Rambam always ends off his halachas with a bang. He always saves something for the end, which is going to remain with you. And so if he put it over here, lofnei hediotos, the likelihood is that he is like a supercharged Ramban. Namely, that we're dealing over here with like a real bona fide Iser, and people should be aware that this is a total misunderstanding of Torah Hashem. That we have this Iser to go to judges who are not halachically mandated to be able to judge these situations. Okay, but the Rambam clearly, in other words, again, 99% of it deals with Goyim, but he tosses in the words, V'lo lefnei hediotot, within this Rambam, So it would appear that at least a shadow of the expletives that he throws at the person who goes in front of the Akum, at least a shadow of that applied to someone who goes before Adiotos. But again, this is not, we don't find this back in the beginning. You know, when it gives the criteria, we don't find it at all, which is strange. Okay. Where we're holding now, we'll stop at this point. Where we're holding now is really to understand the solutions. Okay, so we have these issues. We have the need of mumchim. We have an Easter to go before Hedyotos. We have Lotin Oldelas, we'll deal with in our sugya, but we have this world of Shlichus Sayu. What exactly does it mean to speak about the fact that the judges who are Hedyotot nowadays are the Shlichim of the judges who once existed? So there is one more sugya we haven't seen. That's a sugya in Baba Kama, in Perek HaChovel. It's been referred to, like Derech Agav, by the Rishonim, on Daf Pei Dalet, Amar Aleph, Pei Dalet, and Beis. I'll give you the Maran Makom. To see that sugi, that's the main sugi of Shlichus Sayu. So we're dealing with Shlichus Sayu in two sugis, in Baba Kama and in Gitin. And the Rishonim, both in all three sugis, by us and there. So what we're going to see is that there are a number of understandings of Shlichus Sayu. One of them I gave you in terms of just the tip of the iceberg, in terms of... What? In terms of the tshuva of the Rivash. What does Shlichus Sayu mean? But that is not necessarily the only approach. And so, Blina, the next time I'll give you the Maran Makamos for Shlichus Sayu. Next time will be a week from today. I'm well aware that'll be hard for you to prepare for Shir on Rosh Hashanah. But you still have, in other words, tomorrow. So we'll see as far as you prepare. That's where we'll begin, and also on Tzom Gedalia itself, right? Next Wednesday is Tzom Gedalia, so we'll have Shir at 11. Maybe we'll make Shir a little later on Tzom Gedalia. That would make sense. No, give you a little more time.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll have Shir. Okay, well, like we normally do it on Sunday, 11:45 on Tzom Gedalia. Okay, is that okay with you? You're okay. You're having shiur 11:45. Okay, we'll have that shiur, and then afterwards, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll have shiur during Aseres Yemei Tshuva on the Sunday before Yom Kippur. Then we'll take a break for Sukkot. Okay, but with the sugya of Shlichus Sayu, I hope that next to shiurim. We can finish up over here also, and hopefully also get up to the two dots. Now, at least we'll have done one sugya well, hopefully, before the break. Okay. So, Blinad, I'll give you the Maran Makamos either later today or first thing tomorrow morning. I think you can still do later today. What else do I want to tell you? Just in terms of the Prusbol. So, tomorrow we'd like to have an assembly line of Prusbol. Namely, that those of you who want to make a Prusbol will, each of you will stand in front of us and recite the Nusach. So if you find that it's hard for you to recite Nuschos, so take it in advance and practice. Prepare it. Okay, read it. If you don't understand something, come over to myself, to Rav Silverman, to Rav Ben Narsh, ask what you're saying. But you should understand what you're saying. Just point out that those who do not have property... what you're saying is simply that you are handing over the ability to collect your chov to a bezdin. If one is allowed to hand over to a bezdin, not in their presence, you're handing it over to the bezdin HaGadol of Yerushalayim, which is a bezdin chashuv. And according to the Sfaradim, you need dafka bezdin chashuv. But if you have to do it in front of the bezdin, since you're not going to run to the bezdin HaGadol at this point, so you'll make myself and Rav Asaf and Rav Eliav your Bezdin of Hedyotos, personally, Bezdin of Hedyotos, and we'll sign that you made the statement. If you own an apartment, you have property, so there is a hidur of being sure that the lovim have an ability to pay. We have to have what collectability. So therefore, when it's makna a little bit of one's property to the lovim, that then that serves as like an anchor that they certainly have something to pay, and then on top of that, you know, where it's they'll pay with their fluid funds. So if one has property, so we make a kinyan sudar, and that you're giving to your various lovim a little bit of your property to be certain that you can collect from them. Other than that, I think that it's pretty. And those who are married, so there's a clause in there that you're making the prizbal for your wives as well. Again, assuming that most nowadays many people have wives who have independent bank accounts, independent trusts, etc., and so she needs to make a prizbal as well. And so, but you could be her shliach to make it by saying that everything which you're saying is for her as well, and then she's taken care of. If you want to ask her whether she wants to make you a shliach, you could certainly ask her. But I would tend to assume that she definitely would want to collect your debts, and so we will assume zachin la'adam that she's making you a shliach. Okay, in mitzvah shel tomorrow in the afternoon, I'll give a review of the halachos ben hagim of Rosh Hashanah, particularly those that we makayim here in the yeshiva, right after mincha, and then only afterwards we'll have the chabura in Yoredeya for those who want to stay.